Good morning. Coming up on 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, and we have our last session with Virgil Peck of the year because we're running out of year. So good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. You are correct. We are running out of year.
Yeah, one day left.
December 30th, 2022, which means tomorrow is the last day of the year, and then soon after that, the legislature will be convening in Topeka.
Yeah, well, good deal. Well, do you have a good Christmas, sir?
Did. Oh, by the way, before I forget, Speaking of Christmas, which just has nothing to do with Christmas.
You know.
Yeah. My wife had a birthday on the 18th of December, but the very next day, our granddaughter, Libby, gave birth to our second great-grandchild, Elena Michelle Jabin. So, kind of realizing that I guess I'm not as young as I used to be,
right.
James. Got great grandchildren now, two of them.
Man.
Got EJ, and then now we got little girl. And so kind of a special thing. But it's interesting, my wife being on the 18th, she always said she didn't want to have any children close to Christmas time. So we had a son born on the 22nd. And he kind of thought, you know, that's not really nice having a birthday so close to Christmas. So he had a daughter on the 27th
of
December.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And then that daughter, Libby, is kind of like, you know, that those Christmas birthdays are not that fun. So what's she do? She has a child on the 19th of December.
Nice.
So right at Christmas time, our family's got a lot of birthdays to celebrate.
That is great. Well, hey, as you said, we are getting close to January and things turning over there in Topeka and a lot of changes, of course. So I know we're shaping up to have an interesting time here. I mean, it's not like the house is, or, yeah, everything's not going to change all that much. You know, we're not having a new governor or anything like that. But I'm sure
well,
there are a few
bad
things you're looking forward to.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Did I interrupt you? Did you say that?
not live on the air. I didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's okay. You're right. Go ahead, James.
Sure. But but you're talking about ACLU redistricting.
Yes. By the way, before I get into that, I'm just
course
going to mention something about the legislature.
Go for it.
We have had two senators retire.
Yeah.
And so we will have two new senators midterm, which they were not up for election, but we will have one Republican from Sedgwick County. Interesting, the man who will be taking Gene Sollentrop's place is the former chief of staff for the Senate president. And then Tom Hawk from Manhattan has retired.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's a Democrat,
yep,
so they
yep
will select a replacement for him. So there will be a little bit of change up in personnel, which means potentially a change up in committee assignments. Don't know.
Sure.
Haven't heard anything yet, but there could be. But now what you had mentioned, yes, the ACLU of Kansas has appealed to the United States Supreme Court, arguing that the new district maps that the legislature passed last session for Congress are unconstitutional. And they said that the Kansas Supreme Court didn't factor in everything they should, so they're appealing to the higher court, the U.S. Supreme Court. I really don't expect the U.S. Supreme Court to do anything. I find it interesting and disappointing, James, that the ACLU would sue or bring a case regarding redistricting. And they said that the new map, This really bothers me. They say the new map is racially motivated and it divides minority communities. I can't say that it does or does not, but James, the reason it bothers me, it sounds like to me they're saying that all minorities vote one particular way. And basically, this is Virgil Peck's reading, saying that minorities don't think for themselves. Well, I disagree. I know a lot of good minority young people or individuals, no matter what age. They're independent thinkers. They don't just follow the crowd. They don't vote all one way. So for the ACLU to say, well, minority groups vote all one party or the other, I think it's kind of rude for them to say that. So I just thought I would throw that out because all races, a lot of intelligent people in all races. So the ACLU bring this lawsuit just frustrates me. But we shall see. It's only about congressional redistricting. And, James, we had an election. Every incumbent in the United States Congress from Kansas won re-election. So for them to say, well, this was designed to take out one candidate or another, it just If it was, it didn't work. Sure. And it wasn't, I can tell you that. But so we shall see what the ACLU comes up with and if the United States Supreme Court even touches the case. And I don't think they will, but we'll find out.
I hear you. Now, we normally talk with Charles Skank about Social Security and retirement and everything, but you said you had a topic on that.
Yes, the governor has come out with some tax proposals, and actually, James, there's nothing new in the governor's proposal. By the way, I got a letter from a constituent just this week, and in that letter, the lady mentioned several things, but she also enclosed some articles that I had written last January. And the governor had promised last January that everyone was going to get a $250 income tax rebate. Well, I haven't gotten mine yet. I don't know if you've gotten yours. But anyway, the governor has proposed several things that Republicans had already been pushing for. A back-to-school sales tax holiday, which we may talk about that. She talked about income tax on Social Security income, which we'll talk about a little bit here extensively. And she wants to see the sales tax on groceries eliminated immediately rather than phased out like it currently is scheduled to. But
and what is the why is that just so that we can kind of ease that change in the incoming tax revenue? What's the reason for the step down that has been proposed?
Great question. And the answer to that is exactly what you said. Many people look at the economy and we see a storm on the horizon as it relates to tax revenue for the state and for the federal level, which, by the way, I can't believe that they just passed $1.7 trillion spending in Washington, D.C. I don't know what's wrong with them goobers up there, but I'm sorry. I'm kind of got my commentary going here. Yes. Eliminating the sales tax on groceries is about a $500 million reduction in revenue to the state annually. And so by phasing it out, it gives the legislature an opportunity to realize a slow reduction in revenue and to adjust the budget. That's something that I could also commentate on, but the state legislature has not done a good job of controlling spending. Hopefully, by phasing it out rather than the total elimination, it will provide the legislature with an opportunity to control spending. Plus, I personally would rather see us do some other things that are more long-term benefits to the state. I am not a fan of taxing productivity income versus consumption, which is sales. Some people, the only amount of money they contribute to the state coffers are the sales tax because they pay no property tax, they pay no income tax. So I got the argument they can say this is regressive, whatever. But anyway, that was that's an answer. We just sort of phased it out so there could be a time for adjustment, but we shall see. If we eliminate the income tax on Social Security and retirement income, that could be a more substantial hit to the state budget than what I realized. Currently, just Social Security, if we just eliminated that, where we don't receive any state income tax, that'd be about $112 million reduction to the state budget. And then if we include retirement income, that's another $263 million. So those two, if we just totally eliminate income on Social Security and retirement benefits, you're looking at 112 plus 263, that's what, 375 in round numbers. To the state. So we shall see if we can accomplish that. I think it would be a good thing because, again, it would incentivize citizens to stay in Kansas and would not tax productivity for those who do want to work or receive some type of retirement income. But I found it interesting. I did a little bit of research on Social Security and retirement income prior to 1983, which was before your time, not mine.
Yeah. But
there was no federal income tax on Social Security. And then in 1983, they started taxing up to 50% of Social Security. In 1993, it was moved up to where they would tax 85% of Social Security. And, of course, that's based off of a formula. But there's no tax currently at the federal level for $32,000 or less. And then from $32,001 to $44,000, there's a sliding scale. And then at $44,000 and up, Social Security is fully taxed at the federal level. 40% of Social Security recipients pay some type of federal income tax. So four in 10 Social Security recipients do pay federal income tax. Currently in Kansas, as we have talked about in the past, if you have a federally adjusted gross income of $75,000 or less, you pay no state income tax on your Social Security. $75,000 and $1, you pay state income tax on all your Social Security. So that's been unfair to people to earn. And it's, as I've mentioned in the past, whether it's a single filer or married filing jointly, it's $75,000. So again, the governor has proposed, well, let's eliminate or phase out the income tax on Social Security income. Well, that's, again, an idea that Derek Schmidt had mentioned and we worked out on last year in the Senate Tax Committee. So we shall see how we accomplish that. But I found it interesting when I was looking at Social Security and retirement income, how it used to be no tax on it. And now we tax it and federal taxes it. So it's making it difficult for our seniors, particularly, James, in these inflationary times.
Sure.
So we can provide relief for senior citizens. I expect us to accomplish that. Hope we will. We'll be pushing for that.
Gotcha there. Now, you also mentioned the Kansas Highway Patrol having some issues with a shortage of actual staff and folks out on the road there, right?
It is. And it's one of those things, James, when I know guys like you, you kind of just law-abiding citizens, kind of squeaky clean, but not everyone is, like myself. Sometimes I'm sorry. I see the speeding a little bit.
You know, Well, Mike, I got 63 horses, so they don't go very fast.
Anyway, we do have a low incoming number of troopers. The reason I mentioned the troopers, we don't like to see highway patrolmen when we're driving. However, if we have an accident or something, we want them there immediately.
Sure.
And when we have low numbers, it causes difficulty in getting law enforcement troopers to a scene of an accident. For example, in 2019, which was just 3 years ago, it'll be four here soon, we had 547 uniformed officers, and this year we had 469, so we had 78 less troopers in a three-year period. Now, some other states have done some things they're facing. So this is not just a Kansas issue, but other states are facing it, and they're trying to come up with ideas. Other states have proposed $5,000 sign-on bonuses for troopers. They have proposed relocations to move to their state. And in Kansas, the troopers, and by rights, I agree with this, the superintendent said, we hire to a higher standard, meaning they're highway patrols, and we want top-notch guys and gals in uniform on our roads. But it's been challenging. For example, there used to be a tattoo policy. No tattoos could be shown. Well, now they do allow some tattoos, not sleeve tattoos where your whole arm's covered and so forth. They do allow some tattoos. And a lot of military individuals are great troopers, but a lot of military individuals have gotten a tattoo while part of the military. Our upcoming class, which is class number 65, we had 182 applicants. This was information from the Highway Patrol when I was in Topeka. After testing, background checks, polygraph checks, our test, of those 182, 17 were eligible for the academy. It's like that's less than 10% of the individuals who apply make it through the initial process. And then, so we shall see if those 17 go to the academy and graduate. And again, that was class number 65. Class number 64, which is a previous one, we only had 5 trooper trainees come out of that class.
Wow. Now, has there been a decrease in the number of applicants, or is it more that they're, fewer people eligible?
It's fewer people eligible. We have an online test now, a personality test that individuals can take to see if they would qualify as a trooper. And that is something that I ask in the committee meeting. Is that accurate? Are we learning? Because it takes a certain personality type. You can't have criminal background or so forth, felonies. But they said, yes, that test is proving to be pretty accurate because they have looked at the test and then tested some the other way other than online. So trooper shortage is an issue. Pay is always an issue. A new trooper will earn $27.61 an hour, and that's the new pay, which is not a bad salary, but it can be a pretty stressful position and job to be a trooper.
Is it similar to like law enforcement? They might do 10 or 12 hour shifts sort of thing. Do you know on that?
They sometimes are asked to. Depends on what's going on.
Yep. Sure. So not like you can leave. Oh, I'm off the clock now. Right in the middle of a situation.
Right in the middle of, working an accident, particularly a fatality or something. So, yes, and then the weather plays a factor into it, of course. But it's a stressful job, and so we do want to make certain we honor our law enforcement and provide for them. But we've got some challenges. And then there has been some corruption, some misconduct at the highest levels of our Highway Patrol in the state of Kansas. And so that misconduct, we believe, plays a little bit into the fact that we are having a lower number of applicants. And the reason is, James, currently or in the past, troopers would recruit their buddies and friends and people they know to also be troopers. But when you don't have a good feel for your agency, you're not going to recruit your friends and neighbors and other individuals to participate or to become troopers. So that's also playing a part of it. But it's an issue we need to address, I guess, is my point, just to cut to the chase.
Now, as we have a couple minutes left here, you mentioned something about broadband. There has been some talk about, like, more of the federal level about a new broadband map. Was this at all related to that as far as, broadband rollout sort of in Kansas and spending on that?
It is. It is. Our State Finance Council approved $394 million to provide for infrastructure of broadband across our state. Now, this is part of the American Rescue Plan money, federal money. It's one-time money. So I think that if we've got one-time money from the federal government, one-time expenditure like infrastructure for broadband is probably the way to go. I did find it interesting, James, that the American Rescue Plan, which was passed by Congress, sort of as a part of the COVID situation, but the money must be appropriated by 2026. Well, that's still 3 years from now. What? And of course, that was passed a couple of years ago. But why in the world did they make it? If it's something that here's American Rescue money, here's to design to help states with their budgets or with certain projects. Why is it drawn out so much? I don't know. But good news is the money's at the state. Bad news is it added to the federal deficit, but we are going to put it to good use, and broadband is something that's important, I believe, particularly for rural areas, James, because we've got more and more individuals who want to work from home, and they need the high-speed internet. They need access to be able to do that from home, which, again, I believe would be beneficial for rural areas. So that's something. It'll take time for all of that to be in place. But the good news is the money's allocated, and we're going to move forward with it, and it'll happen.
Could be an opportunity for population growth, people trying to get out of the cities, right?
That's my hope. Of course, I can't. I'm a rural guy, James. I always have been. I just can't figure out why anybody wants to live in a big city. But some people do. I've got a daughter who lives in a city of 800,000 people. It's like, good grief, there's people everywhere. You're stepping on each other.
Right. But. Yep. I hear you. Well, Virgil Peck, always a great privilege to have you in the studio. I'm glad. And actually, we're going to see you before too long. So here in the new year.
I will be back, planned for the second Friday in January.
Okay. Yep. Well, quick. don't go too wild with your New Year's Eve celebration and everything. We want you to stick around here. So.
Yeah, at my age, you don't get to. If I stay up till midnight, right? That's an accomplishment.
Right? Yeah. That's time enough. So. Yeah. All righty. Well, sir, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you here soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. And we will be back here in just moments. Our Ask the Experts segments just moments away here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.